We're going to jump into our series we've been doing and close out our series on finances here tonight as we talk about a budget and deal with that that word that no one wants to talk about, okay? So we're going to look at our budget, and of course, let's catch us up a little bit with where we've been so far. If we can, you have your handout, hopefully. Does anyone need a handout at all? You'll probably reference that, so hopefully you all have one. Let's look at our financial foundation that we've been examining each time and kind of reminding ourselves with. First off, contentment, and that's kind of the base level. If you don't have contentment, you won't be a good steward, and you certainly won't be generous. You certainly won't do well with your budget. So we've talked about contentment, how we're not complacent, but we're also not covetous. That's kind of where contentment lays. It's a trust, a faith, that God has and will take care of our needs, and so therefore we can trust Him. Then we talked about stewardship, and stewardship is the simple reality that what we have was given by God, so therefore we need to use it wisely, we need to use it effectively, and we need to use it in the way that God has intended. Then number three, we talked about generosity, and that's giving, that's tithing, that's helping those that are in need, those kind of things. And so we talked about that and how God, as a giver, wants us to be givers as well. And then over the last few, we kind of talked about the top of the pyramid, I guess you can say. We talked about debt and what the Bible says specifically about debt and all of that. And then we looked last time at savings, what the Bible says about savings. And tonight, we're going to look at budgeting and close out our little pyramid, okay? Let's ask the Lord's blessing if we can, and we'll jump right into our passage. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You. We thank You so much for Your Word. We thank You that we can examine it and study it here on this topic of finances. Lord, I pray that You'd give us wisdom, give us understanding, give us guidance, Father, as we look at this topic. Lord, we don't want to be covetous. We don't want to live all about money, but Lord, we understand from Your Word as we've been examining this how You value money because it shows our faithfulness. And so, Father, I pray that You'd help us to value and to take care of the money that You've entrusted to us and to use it in a wise way. And Lord, as we look at budgeting in this topic here tonight, Lord, I pray that You would just strengthen us, help us, Father, in our budgeting examination. Lord, that You would help us to use our money wisely, to think through these things, and to be wise stewards in a practical, pragmatic way, Lord, as we'll look at it here tonight. Strengthen us, we pray in these things. In the name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen. Let's go, if we can, as I've done each time, let's look at some statistics specifically about budgeting. First off, this statistic, this was from Mint. I'll mention Mint later. This is actually the website that that we do our budget through. But Mint did this study, a poll. Do you know how much you spent last month? I wonder. I'm not going to ask you, okay? But if I were to ask you, how much did you spend this last month? Do you know? Could you go and look, besides looking on your bank statement, obviously? Could you go and look and say, yes, this is how much I spent? Or do you know off the top of your head, generally, yes, this is how much I spent? According to the statistics, 65% of people do not know how much they spent within the last month. That's obviously a problem, correct? That's an issue. Mint went on their poll, and they asked, again, Americans, 31% on the next slide, if you can, Brian, 31% of Americans say they wish they'd spent less in the last month. So 65% have no idea what they spent within the last month. 31% look at what they spent the last month, and they say, man, I wish I hadn't spent that much. Okay? So that's what we're talking about when we're dealing with a budget. Nice and simply, let's do this, okay? We normally have a lot of interaction and things on Sunday night. So tell somebody around you how you would define, in your own words, how would you define a budget? What is a budget? Okay? Tell somebody sitting around you, what is a budget? We'll write a few up on the slide. Good. do you think? What's a budget, guys? How would you define what a budget is?
A guideline.
A guideline? Sure. Anybody else?
Like an amount of money.
An amount of money? Sure. What else?
She says I need to go back from budgeting. It's if I have checks left, I have money left, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly how it works.
It wasn't paying attention to that part.
The financial counseling for your premarital counseling, I need to go back and touch on that again. But, yeah, what's a budget? How would you break it down? I would agree with these, but I would say there's more to it than this.
A way to track what you're spending.
Okay, good. It's tracking of spending. Sure. Sure, tracking income. Any other ideas? What's a budget? How would you define a budget? Because obviously we need to know what it is if we're going to talk about what it is. Brother Ronald? How much Ronald's wife lets him spend. How much Ronald's wife, Madge, lets him spend. It's wise. Happy wife, happy life, as they say, right? Good. Any other definitions?
A way to make sure you don't go in debt.
A way to make sure you don't go in debt. Good. Good. Good answer. Good. Here's how I think of a budget. Here's my own definition, and since I'm the one preaching, then I'll use mine. Okay. Here's my definition. A budget is a roadmap. Okay, of where I'm going to use my money. Does that make sense? So when Becky and I make a budget, when you make a budget, what are you doing? You are making a plan, a roadmap of how you're going to spend the money God's given you. Does that make sense? That's what, can we all agree that that's a pretty a wonderful definition? Sure, right? Okay, it's a roadmap. It's a plan that, okay, this is how much money I'll take in this week or this month or this year, whatever. So therefore, because of that, here's how we want to spend that money so we can wisely use it. Can we all agree with that? Now, obviously, there's a lot of variance in budgets, and we'll look at that a little bit later on. Okay, you can be very specific, you can be very broad, but nonetheless, regardless, a budget is a roadmap, a guide. This is how much money I'm going to take in. This is how much money I need to spend and how much money I want to spend in these given categories. Correct? Y'all with me so far? Okay, good. So here's what we're going to do. First off, as we're obviously looking at it from a biblical perspective, first off, we will look at a biblical basis for budgeting, and then we'll do some guidelines for budgeting, and then finally some practical steps on it. Okay? Number one, the biblical basis for budgeting. Okay? That's a lot of B's. Okay, so biblical basis for budgeting. Let's look at a few verses if we can. Can we have some people look up some references for us? Let's see. Luke 16 and verses 1 and 2. Luke 16 verses 1 and 2. Okay, Waylon, I saw your hand on that. Proverbs 3 verse 9. Malcolm, I saw your hand first on that one. Proverbs 28, 22. Robert, if you can get that one. Proverbs 21, 20. Okay, go ahead, Nathan, you got that one. Let's see. Let's all the rest of us look up Luke 14, okay? And then we'll go from there, okay? Biblical basis for budgeting. So everybody else will be in Luke 14, and we'll get some more volunteers here in just a little bit. Now, biblical basis. Basically what this is just biblical reasons why we should budget. Let me first say this, okay? The Bible never uses the term budget. You would agree with that, correct? There's no term budget in the Bible, but the principles of a budget are what we're looking at here, okay? We're looking at Bible principle that guide us into being wise with our money. Number one, it's expected in stewardship. Who had Luke 16, verse 1 and 2? Go ahead, William.
And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused to give him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward.
Good. This is a parable, okay, and it's a parable about an unjust steward. A steward that did not use the money he was entrusted with wisely. And what's the master do? The master goes to him and the master says, hey, steward, you need to give an account of how you're using money, why, where you're using the money, and get those things kind of settled. Obviously, it's expected in stewardship. Here's what we're saying. If you are to be a steward of what God gave us, remember what we talked about several weeks ago, right? We are stewards. We are entrusted with the money God's given us. You're entrusted with the job, the abilities God's given you. So if you are a steward, then you need to take care of the money God's given you, and you need to have a plan to do that. You would agree, if you don't have a plan, you don't get anything done, correct? And things get wasted if you don't have a plan. So we need to have a plan financially. Number two, it allows prioritization. Proverbs 3, verse 9. Who had that one? Malcolm, go ahead.
Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thy increase.
Good. Honor the Lord with thy substance and the first fruits of all thy increase. Nice and simply, folks, we talked about giving, like generosity, as one of our principles, as one of our foundations. And you can't be generous if you don't plan ahead to be generous. Right? You cannot give to the Lord, and you certainly can't give to others if you're not planning ahead and not setting some kind of budget, setting a little bit of restriction to yourself and to your flesh. Correct? How many of you are spenders in here? Be honest. You're spenders. You like spending money. Good. Raise your hand. Be proud. You spenders. Yes. Okay, good. You can put your hands down. Okay? The reality is all of us have a little bit of spender in us. Yes? Okay? Some of us like saving. Becky and I are kind of both savers. We just kind of live cheaply, which is a good thing. Okay? But there is always this little bit of spender in you. Correct? Right? If you go into your favorite store and you find a 25% off rack or 50% off rack, I guarantee you, even the cheapest of you become spenders. Correct? You men, you go into Cabela's and everything's 50% off, you probably would spend some money. Maybe not some of you, okay? You go into a gun store, you're going to spend some money. You go into a tractor supply store, Malcolm?
Now we're talking.
Right? Then you'll end up spending some money. Am I making sense here? There's always, in each one of us, there's a little bit of us where we would love to spend our money. And we have to be able to prioritize. This is important. This is crucial. This is not as important. Am I making sense? And a budget allows you to do that. Number three, it alleviates debt. Proverbs 28, verse 22. Who had that one? Robbie, go ahead.
He that hastes to be rich have an evil eye, and consider not that poverty shall come upon
you. Good. So, if we hasten to be rich, okay, if we're hasty to try and get money, then what happens? Then we fall into debt. The reality is, people save money gradually, like we looked at last time, okay? So you want to save gradually, and you will not save, like we talked about last time, unless you have a plan to do so, okay? So that's what a budget is. Number four under here, it promotes saving, kind of like what we just said. Proverbs 21, verse 20. Who had that one? Okay, good. Nathan?
There is treasure to be desired, and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up.
Good. And the idea here is that both have the same amount, correct? The wise man, the foolish man, it seems that both of them are earning the same amount, correct? But what happens with the foolish person? He just spends it all, right? And the wise man goes and it's still there, okay? The reality is sometimes we will have good times and we need to still have a budget to save even in those good times. And a budget allows and promotes that kind of saving. Number four here, it prepares for the future. Most of us are in Luke chapter number 14. Let's look at verse number 28, those of us that are there. Luke 14 and verse number 28. Jesus is giving the reasoning. We've looked at this passage a few times. The reasoning why we should be disciples, and specifically the reality that you need to think through the decision to follow Christ, because it will cost something. But nonetheless, he uses a physical illustration to reveal that truth. Luke 14, verse 28, he says this, "For which of you, intending to build a tower," catch it, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it. Lest happily, when he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. He's going and he's saying, hey, you need to prepare for the future, and a budget allows you to prepare for the future and prepare for what you're going to do. If this man here didn't give a budget and didn't set a plan for having enough money to build the tower, then he ends up getting mocked. Okay? Let's look up a few different, few more. Now, Proverbs 10 and verse 4. Can someone look that up? Proverbs 10 and 4. Robbie, go ahead. Proverbs 10 and 4. And let's see here. Luke 14. Actually, we already have that one. Proverbs 3 and verse 9. Can someone look that one up? Proverbs 3, 9. Okay? Go ahead, John. Proverbs 3, 9. 1 Timothy 5, 8. Can someone look that one up? 1 Timothy 5, 8. Okay, Waylon, you got 1 Timothy 5, 8. And Psalm 37, 21. Someone Psalm 37? Okay, Ronald, Psalm 37, 21. Matthew 6, 25. Okay, Nathan, Matthew 6, 25. And Ecclesiastes 5, verses 18 through 19. Can someone do that one? Ecclesiastes 5? Okay, Malcolm, good. I told you we got a lot of passages here tonight, okay? So next, prepares for the future. Next, it illustrates diligence. Proverbs 10, 4. Robbie, did I give that to you?
He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich.
Good. And this points out that having finances often comes because of being careful, being diligent, paying attention. And that's, of course, what a budget is. It's paying attention to what money you have. And so, obviously, we're giving the arguments in favor of a budget. It's exemplified biblically. Genesis 41, we don't have time to really go there, but the story of Joseph. And if you remember the story of Joseph, we alluded to that last time. Joseph was a man that he went and he saw through the vision that Pharaoh had that there would be 7 good years and then 7 bad years. And he went and he said, hey, you should take up 1/5 of everything that's taken in and save for the 7 bad years because it's going to be really bad. So plan ahead now so that you're prepared for the bad times. And by the way, folks, you and I, we will have bad times, correct? There will be times where things won't go well. One day, John Utley will not be his strapping young self, okay? And so I need to plan for that. I need to prepare for that. And if we're not planning and preparing, then those days catch us off guard, okay? Biblical basis for budgeting. Number 2, guidelines for budgeting. Okay, so biblical basis for budgeting. Number 2, guidelines for budgeting. Here's what I mean by this, okay? What are the steps that you need to take in order to be effective at budgeting? Here's the simple truth, okay? The simple truth is that what we've been talking about biblically and what we've been looking at, you have to kind of now take this into a somewhat pragmatic way and say, okay, now how can I create a good budget? Hopefully you all have budgets. Hopefully you're following budgets. If you're not, hopefully this will be helpful. If you are, hopefully this will be helpful too. Okay? So I understand some of you probably have budgets. Some of you have probably been following them for years. That's great. That's wonderful. That's good. Hopefully this will just give you a little bit more boost, a little bit more, hey, let's continue. Okay? If you're not, these are the steps that I would take to start and to create a budget. Am I making sense here? Okay, so number 1, what do you need to do? First, you need to consider your income, okay? So you need to consider how much you make. So let's just create a random illustration if we can here, okay? We're going to erase this, okay? So we're just going to create a random illustration of a budget here real quick, okay? Let's say that that we'll just use the name Joe, okay? Joe is budget. Okay, let's say that Joe makes, I'm just going to use nice round numbers, let's say he makes $2,000 every month. Okay, it's not a lot of money, but it's just a simple illustration. Okay, let's say that Joe makes $2,000 every month. Okay, y'all with me here? So Joe needs to make sure if he's making $2,000 every month, which again, that's actually really low. Let's make that bigger. Let's make it $4,000 every month so it's a little bit more reasonable, okay? So, Joe makes $4,000 every month. So, Joe needs to understand how much he makes in order to do anything before that, correct? Yes? If Joe doesn't know how much he makes, then obviously he's not going to be able to take care of it. In the passage we just looked at, Luke 14, the person building the tower needs to see if he has sufficient to build the tower before he ever starts the tower. Okay? That's what we're looking at here. Okay? Now, some people have variable incomes. Does anybody in here, your income is not something that you can plan on within a given month. It ranges. Okay? Okay? It just changes depending on hours, depending on what have you. Okay? In those instances, okay, it's very hard to set a real budget, right? In those kind of instances, I used to work hourly work, and you never knew what hours you'd get. I would make more money in the summer than I would in the winter because, you know, obviously the kind of work that I did a lot of farm work and things like that. So if in those instances, what you want to do is either, one, if it's a seasonal work, you want to set a budget for those given months. Okay, when I worked seasonal work, I had a different budget when I was working in the summer because I made a lot more money versus in the winter when I would make pretty much nothing. Okay, am I making sense? Or if it's like a commission base, okay, or something like that, okay, then you want to just set a average. This is how much I average make, but you'd want to have a good bit of cushion, okay, if it's a bad month. Does that make sense? I have some friends, if you're watching on live stream, I have some friends that go and they sell cars or things like that, right? They may make a lot of money, or realtors. They sell a house, and they may make a lot of money one month, and they may make no money the next month. In that instance, you really need to have an emergency fund. You really need to have savings because you don't know what you'll make, even month to month. But most of us, we have a set income, and we know, okay? So you first consider that, okay? So Joe makes $4,000 a month. We all clear so far, yes? Okay, number two. Okay, consider your fixed expenses. So, fixed expenses. Let's make sense of what that is. Okay, these are expenses that you know exactly how much it will be every month. Does that make sense? What are some fixed expenses that you know exactly how much it will be every month? Talk to me. What are some fixed expenses? House, rent, sure. So if you have a house payment, if you have rent, you know exactly it will be $1,000 a month or whatever. Good. What else? Your car payment, if you have a car payment, certainly. Anything else?
Insurance.
We know exactly how much your insurance will be every month. Obviously, it might change yearly. That means that you'd have to adjust these numbers. Okay, but generally, you know exactly how much it's going to be every month. What else? Talk to me.
Phone bill.
Phone bill, sure. What else? There's a lot of stuff, right?
If you have your life, you'll set up from equal pay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Your light bill can be light pay. So you pay the same thing every month.
Yeah, light bill, maybe.
And it's an average every year, over a period of time.
Good. So Waylon brings up a good point with the light bill. Sometimes you could set up an equal pay on light bills so it doesn't surprise you. Okay, so it's this much on average every month. It doesn't have to be that way. Waylon, from your perspective, since you deal with this, what do you think is better?
I'm on equal pay.
You're on equal pay?
And I mean, they adjust it every period every year.
Sure.
Depending on your usage.
Sure.
You know, if we had a real hot and real cold year where you was breathing air conditioner, heat a little more, you were subject to pay a little bit more on the next year because
sure.
Your average increases somewhat.
Right.
But every month, you know what's coming out that year.
You know to be able to plan. Right.
And you don't have to worry about it. Direct deposit.
Yeah.
Oh, draft. I have to come draft and equal pay.
Good.
So I know what comes out every month, and because we get in trouble if we're late on the light bill.
Oh, yeah.
So
I bet. Yeah, you don't want to be late on a light bill. Yeah, right. So that brings up a good point, and that's something that I hadn't really considered. Equal pay on light bills, certainly. Yeah. Any other fixed expenses? So one that no one mentioned, tithe. Right? Tithe is a fixed expense. If Joe makes $4,000 a month, then that means Joe's tithe for that month would be what?
$400.
Am I making sense? So they're fixed expenses, okay? Obviously, with the verse that we have, Proverbs 3:9, and we looked at this verse already, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of thy inheritance. By the way, let me just say real quick, when we're considering tithe, I believe that it's a good and beneficial thing for you to give when you get the paycheck because of this verse and some others, okay? With the first fruit of thine inheritance, okay? So the first thing that you do when you get your money is you should give to the Lord. Does that make sense? Okay, so you should give to the Lord right away, effectively. Okay, so tithe, a few others that I have, specific needs that we know exactly. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 8. Who had that one? 1 Timothy 5:8? Waylon, good.
But if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel.
Good. And the Bible's very clear that we need to provide for our own in specific needs. Now, let me be clear. When I'm talking about fixed expenses, I'm not talking necessarily about food because food's variable, correct? Okay, I'm not talking about food. I'm not talking about clothing. That's variable, right, which we'll look at in just a second. I'm talking about exact numbers. Here's the reason why we do it this way. It's really just pragmatic. Okay, if, for example, illustration Joe goes through and he goes through all his fixed expenses, and let's say he's left with $2,000 a month. Okay, can we just say yes? So he's left with $2,000 a month. Then we know Joe cannot have more than $2,000 a month to spend on anything else. Correct? If he goes through his house payment, if he goes through his car payment, if he goes through his flex pay utility payment, if he goes through all of those things and he has $2,000, if he's going and he's going to spend more than $2,000 on variable payments, then there's a problem. Correct? So it's just a pragmatic way for me to wrap around my brain how I think these are the things that are fixed. I can't change them. Apart from shopping new insurance, apart from buying a new house, I can't change these things. So this is a set thing. Now here's all the things that I have a little bit of cushion on. You may not have a lot of cushion on your food bill, but you do have some. Correct? You can not go out to eat, and that'll save a lot of money. Okay? So that's what we're looking at. Number three under fixed expenses, debts. Okay? If Joe has any debts, we talked about a car payment or something like that. If Joe has a credit card, that should be under fixed expenses. Here's the reason why I have it under fixed expenses. Because I believe that you have to pay that amount biblically. Are we clear on that with when we looked at debt, correct? Okay, I do not believe biblically that it's good or advantageous for Joe, in our illustration, to skip debt and to have it on variable, okay? I believe he should at least pay minimum payments every month. He needs to pay more than that, but at least minimum payments. We all clear on that, yes? Okay, so that's why I would put debts in this, in fixed. You with me? Okay, at least the minimum payment of the debt. Whoop, there goes my pen, okay? So, okay, number one, consider your income. Number two, consider your fixed expenses. Number three, consider variable expenses. Matthew 6 and verse number 25. Who had Matthew 6, 25? Good. Nathan?
Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?
Good. Now, this verse at first glance might seem, oh, well, we shouldn't worry about a budget. We shouldn't take care of a budget. It's actually part of the reason why I bring it up. This idea of taking no thought of your life, of what you shall eat, what you shall drink, things about that along that line, it's not saying just don't even think about it. What it's saying instead is don't let that take over. The idea of take no thought, thought, is not just a thought. It's actually something that's penetrating your thought. It's permeating your thoughts. Does that make sense? It's something that's dividing your thoughts. Here's the benefit of a budget. The benefit of a budget is it allows you to not worry about a budget. Does that make sense? A budget is not a straitjacket. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
A budget is freeing if you do it right. Am I making sense here? So if you're doing a budget and your budget feels like a straitjacket, you're doing it wrong. A budget instead is you going and you planning, because God's going to provide for you. That's what the passage Nathan read. God's going to provide for you. Your life is not your stuff, so don't live for your stuff. Have it planned. Have it prepared. God's met your needs. God's taking care of your food. God's taking care of all those things. So prepare, plan ahead, and then there's freedom. Am I making sense here? There's freedom in those things. As David said, and as we quoted before, David said, I was once young, now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread. Variable expenses. So you, one, consider your income. Two, consider fixed expenses. These are the things you cannot change, you cannot adjust. Number three, you consider variable expenses. And variable expenses can change. Okay? For example, Becky and I, we go and we have a food budget. Okay? If our food budget is exceptionally high, because sometimes it is, because our kids eat like insane people. Okay? I know, it's getting worse. Thanks, Waylon, for the encouragement. So, okay, when they eat a lot, then what do? We say, oh, actually, we're not going to go out to eat. Right? We're not going to go out to eat for the rest of the week, or we're not going to go out to eat for the rest of whatever. Okay? Don't we, Josh? Right? Okay? We go out to eat normally once, maybe twice in a week. Maybe. And they're normally cheap places where kids eat free. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay? So, that's what we do. Why? Because they're variable. Am I making sense? So if we go to Walmart or Food Lion or Aldi or whatever, and we spend a bunch of money on groceries, then I'm not going to blow my budget going out to Ruth's Chris, okay? Okay, or something like that. Obviously, I don't go to Ruth's Chris. Okay? Am I making sense? It's variable. You can adjust these things, okay? So you can set a realistic number, okay? But set a number that is variable that you can make sure you maintain. Okay? Am I making sense here? For each person, for each family, that's different. If it's just two of you in the house, then obviously you don't need the same budget as six of us in our house. So you have to vary those things and say, okay, this is the situation I'm in, so therefore this is what I'm going to do. Okay? They can change. Okay? So you consider what those variable expenses are. What are some variable expenses? Talk to me. Some variable expenses. Throw some out real quick. Anybody?
Food.
Way to pay attention. Good. Food. Anything else?
Doctor bills
can be, yeah. I would say with doctor bills, how we normally do a doctor bill is we set a general amount. HSAs, by the way, are great things. If you have an HSA, health savings account, so you can actually put money into an HSA. And then if and when you have doctor bills, it'll actually, most of them actually grow. And then you can actually take it out. So HSAs are very beneficial. So you can actually put money in each month, right, into an HSA. And yes, certainly. What other things are variable?
Utilities.
What?
Utilities.
If you're not on the flex thing, sure, utilities can be.
Like gas for your car.
Like gas for the car? Sure. By the way, with certain ones of these, okay, obviously they're kind of a mix between fixed and variable, correct? Gas for your car, it's not like, oh, well, I can't drive for the rest of the week, right? Sorry, boss, I can't go into work because I met my budget, right? Or whatever. So if, especially when you first start a budget, we'll talk about fund money in just a second. But if gas is going over, then that comes out of fund money. Does that make sense? So when we were first starting to budget, we barely used any gas at all because we lived on campus, okay, and I worked there on campus, okay, when I was working through my master's. So we didn't use a lot of gas, so gas was really, really low. But then, eventually, we were starting to save some money, and then we're like, hey, you know, we'd like to go to the beach on the weekend, right, or whatever. So, you know, we live 30 minutes from Pensacola Beach, so we went and we drive to Pensacola Beach, but it's 30 minutes there, 30 minutes back, now we're using gas. So that money actually, rather than me going and just blowing my whole budget, oh, well, it is what it is, I guess I'll just run in the deficit this month, right, I went out of my fund money to spend my gas money. Am I making sense? OK. because my gas money changed. Am I making sense? So you always set a balance and you always make sure things work out. Okay? Ronald, I saw your hand.
Medicine.
Medicine, sure. Yeah, meds can be real big. Medicine. There's a lot of different things with variable expenses. Number four here on the list, consider your wants or enjoyment. By the way, let me remind you of something, okay? It is good and beneficial for you to enjoy what you have. Okay? That is a biblical principle. Ecclesiastes 5, 18 and 19. Who had that one? Malcolm, go ahead and read that.
Behold that which I have seen. It is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor, and that he take it under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him for his portion. Every man also to whom God had given riches and wealth and had given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God.
Good. So what's that passage saying? It's saying nice and simply, folks, hey, God wants you to enjoy the money that he's given you. Okay? I've talked to people before, and they are such savers that they never spend anything. Have you ever met somebody like that? They want to save so much that they never spend anything. And what happens? They get older, and they've saved everything. As a matter of fact, Solomon in this passage is talking about exactly that. I've saved all this, but then I'm going to be dead, and all this money is going to go to my son, and he won't value it, and he's going to blow it all. Right? No offense, Josh. Okay? So that's a principle, right? That, hey, it's good to enjoy. And by the way, in your budget, you should have something just to have fun. Okay? We call it our blow money. What does that mean? Hey, sometimes it's just good to go out and go shopping and just blow some money. Right? Sometimes it's fun to just go to, you know, go to Kings Dominion or something and just do roller coasters. Right? Amen, praise the Lord. Now, he's like, no, that's a fixed expense. All right, good. But sometimes it's good to do those things. Am I making sense here? Sometimes it's good for you to go and, you know, in our blow money, we actually have an amount specifically for dates or specifically for going out to eat in our blow money because we treat that as something that's enjoyable. And all of those things are good. When I first was starting a budget, I'm a saver. Like I mentioned, Becky's a saver. We were planning ahead. We were trying to save for a house. And I was working on a budget. I gave it to my dad because he's really good with finances. And I said, Dad, what do you think of this budget? And my dad looked at it, looked through all the percentages, all the categories and all that stuff. And we'll look at some of that in just a second if I don't run out of time. And so he looked through it and he said, one big problem you have, John. And I said, what's the problem? You know, and I'm kind of like, you know, I got this together. There's no problem, right? And he's like, you don't have anything to just have fun with. And I was like, well, I mean, we're fine. We just got married. That's fine, right? And my dad said this, and remember this, okay? If you don't have a way to blow your budget, you will always blow your budget. If you don't have a way to blow your budget, you will always blow your budget. Here's what he meant by that. If you don't have some kind of money just to have fun with, then you're in the straitjacket. Right? And you can only survive in the straitjacket for so long before you go insane. And you just tear the whole thing apart, and then people go and they blow $1,000 over their budget, and then they're in debt. Am I making sense? So there needs to be a certain amount where you can just have fun. Have fun. It's a good biblical thing. Have fun. Enjoy the fruit of your labors, like Malcolm just read. So that is perfectly fine, and that's perfectly good. But that fun money does not go up here. Make sense? That fun money goes after you go through your needs, right? And you go through your variable expenses, and you go through your savings, like we've looked at before. You go through all those things, then you go and you consider, hey, this is something I'd like to do. This would be something that's fun. So then you focus on that. Am I making sense here, yes? I hope so. All right, so guidelines for budgeting, biblical basis for budgeting. Let's, number three, look at some budgeting ideas, okay? Now, I'm not going to say that I love everything about all these budgeting ideas, but these are different ideas. that have worked for other people, and I'm just letting you know so you can decide if they'll work for you. We'll mention the ones that we've used in the past, and hopefully this will be helpful, okay? This is just very practical. Number one, the envelope plan. Envelope plan. Has anyone ever used the envelope cash-only budgeting? Okay, good. A few of you. Here's what the envelope plan is, okay? The envelope plan is basically, let me write up here real quick, okay? Because this will make it a little bit more simple, especially now that we're on a new page. Okay, so you take income, right? Fixed, variable, and fun. Okay? Okay. Really, I should add in savings here. I'm going to add in savings. Okay? So, here's what this does. Envelope plan, basically, you go... Now, let me say first. For savings and fix, these, in how I've used envelope plan, different people use differently, I never worried about these two. Because these two are automatically went out. Am I making sense? So my fixed things I didn't worry about, okay? With my rent, it goes out at the beginning of the month. I don't really care, okay? Am I making sense? But for my variable and for my fund, what I do is you go and let's say in our illustration, Joe goes and he makes $4,000 a year. And after his fix and his savings and all of that, then he goes and he has $2,000 left. He goes to the ATM. He gets out $2,000 in cash. And he puts that into the different categories, okay? So Joe, let's say, is going to spend $300 on food. So he gets $300, he puts it into a food envelope, and it's in the envelope, okay? Let's say he has $200 just in fund money. He puts the $200 into fund money. Am I making sense here? And all the envelopes, they may stay at the house, they may be wherever, okay, he may keep them in his wallet or whatever, that probably not recommended, but whatever. So he goes and he has all of those, then whenever Joe wants to go out to eat or to buy groceries or whatever, Joe gets the food envelope, he uses money from the food envelope, am I making sense? And once food envelope is empty, Joe can't go out to eat anymore. Now, with all budgets, there needs to be a level of discipline to not go and to borrow from gas money to go out to eat. Correct? There has to be a level of discipline, okay? Like we said, it's a roadmap, it's a guide, this is how I'm going to use my money. But if Joe follows the envelope plan, then realistically, Joe will never blow his budget, correct? A good friend of mine, he's followed the envelope plan for a long time, and what he did was something interesting. He went and he said, okay, anything left over in the envelope at the end of the month, I put into savings for a big vacation. Okay? So there's an incentive to not go out to eat, right? Because they'd much rather go to the mountains or something. Am I making sense? They'd much rather go to the beach and have a nice hotel. So there's an incentive to not go out to eat because whatever is not in there at the end of the month gets pumped right into savings vacation. Am I making sense? That's besides other savings. We talked about that last week, okay? So I'm not focusing on savings. Savings should be in your budget, okay? But that's the envelope plan. Does that make sense? Okay, there are benefits to it, there are cons to it. The big con that we had, we used to use the envelope plan. We got out of it. The main con for it was, frankly, because of gas. I'm lazy. I don't like going into the store, okay? I don't like going into the store. I don't like waiting in line for somebody that's scratching off lotto tickets, you know? And they're like, oh, I didn't win. Well, let me try that one. I'm like, come on, I just want to pay for my gas, right? I don't like doing that. I like scanning and boom, I'm done, okay? So that's why we eventually stopped the envelope plan. We used it for a long time. Most of the money that we saved while I was in seminary was with the envelope plan. It's a great savings plan, okay? And it's a very effective budget. By the way, let me take a step further. If you are not disciplined and you need to be, get on the envelope plan. Okay? Because it is the most disciplined. Okay? It is very, very disciplined. So if you need to get out of debt, you need to get some financial freedom, envelope plan is a great plan. Okay? Number two, the traditional written budget. So after we went to the envelope plan, we went to a traditional written budget. I'm kind of techie, so I made a Excel spreadsheet that actually went through, and I actually made macros on it that would actually punch it all into everything. It was very fancy. If you want it, you can have it. But anyways, so we went through this traditional written budget where we'd have it all marked out eventually. How I kept up with the traditional written budget is every time we went anywhere, we'd keep a receipt. And that receipt would always come back to me, and then I would punch it in at that evening. Does that make sense? So if Becky goes out shopping in the afternoon, she goes grocery shopping or whatever, I'm not there with her, I don't know how much that is, she gives me the receipt, and then I punch it in. Okay? If you're not techie, this works very well. Okay? If you are techie, there are ways that are a little bit more effective. Okay? But basically, you just have the budget, kind of like you would with the envelope plan, but you're just writing it in every day. Okay? Number three, budgeting apps. This is what we use currently, budgeting apps. Okay? We use Mint. These are all very good. Mint, Personal Capital, You Need a Budget. I tried Mint. I tried You Need a Budget for a while. We kind of liked Mint a little bit more. These are really beneficial because what they actually do is they can keep track of your expenses. So you can actually connect it with your bank. We have BB&T. You can connect it with your bank, and whenever an expense is made, it will pop in. And you can actually teach it to show into different categories. Does that make sense? So, for example, we do a lot of our grocery shopping at Walmart. That's just how we've done it. It's Walmart pickup is wonderful, especially with kids. You don't have to haul them all in. Okay? So we've done a lot of our grocery shopping with Walmart. Whenever something shows up on Walmart, we've set that to show up in food because we don't really go other shopping at Walmart. So it'll show up in food whenever we do that. So boom, as soon as Becky goes and gets a Walmart pickup, then boom, it shows up in food. Does that make sense? I can change it, so if something shows up in food that I know wasn't food, right, then I can pop that into whatever category I need to do, but it's smarter. Does that make sense? Takes a little bit out of my hands, because what I found eventually is, especially as we started having kids, receipts would get lost, right? And we're like, wow, we're doing really good. And then we look at our budget, and we look at what's in the bank, and we're like, wait a second, that doesn't quite add up. Oh, yeah, that's why. Okay? So these are just very helpful in those regards. Mint and Personal Capital have a lot more interaction. We actually have our savings accounts lined up with Mint. So it actually has how much are in our stocks, how much is in retirement, how much is in all that stuff. So in one place, we can just see how things are going. Okay? I thoroughly recommend Mint. It's by Intuit, if you've heard of like TurboTax and things like that. Okay, it's through the same makers of them. It's very good. It's free. So you can recommend that. I would certainly recommend that. That's very helpful if you're into that. Number four here is percentage plans. And there's several different percentage plans. Really, it just kind of depends on how you want to do it. Okay? Now, one thing that you want to deal with and you need to deal with when you're talking about the variable and the fund is you have to figure out how much you want to put into those things. You would agree, if it's just Joe and he has $2,000, he doesn't want to put in $1,000 for food. Correct?
Right.
Joe's going to blow all his money on food, right? He'll be eating steak every night, but he won't have anything else, okay? So certain percentages are very helpful. Dave Ramsey has some very good percentages. If you go to his website, just look up Dave Ramsey budget percentages. His are very helpful. That's what we tend to follow. And especially getting a guideline. Obviously, there's some variance in there, but it gives a good idea. Hey, this is reasonable. This is unreasonable. Okay? So, but percentage plans. Here's basically what these are. These percentage plans kind of, how many of you are not nerdy? You are a free spirit. You don't care about money. You just want to live your life. Raise your hand nice and high. Good. Amen. Okay, good. Some of you, I don't really care. Okay, this is all budget stuff. This is the most boring message you've ever preached. Okay, thank you. I appreciate the encouragement. All right, so in those cases, percentage plans are very helpful. Here's what a percentage plan is, nice and simply, and there's several of them. You go and you take a certain percentage, and this is what it is. And it takes out a lot of the extra detail, and you just lump some things together. Okay, so let's look at it. For example, 60% needs, this is the 60-10-10-10. Or the 60% plan, which is what it's often called. Okay, basically 60% needs, 10% retirement, 10% long-term savings, 10% short-term savings, 10% fund. Okay? So what it is basically you go, and when you get your paycheck, when Joe gets his paycheck, okay, obviously this doesn't have Intuit giving, which I would add into it, obviously, but nonetheless. Okay, so you go and you take it and you say, okay, then $400 goes here, $400 goes here, $400 go here. I get to spend the rest. Yay, let's have fun. Okay, am I making sense? That's what it is. Okay, moving on. Let's give a few more. The 50-30-20 plan. These are popular plans out in the world. Okay, 50-30-20, 50% needs, 30% wants, 20% savings. Okay, so those are helpful. The 20-80. 2080 is for the least nerdy people in here. If you are absolutely not nerdy and you don't care about anything, 20% savings, then use whatever you want. Okay? So, I'm not necessarily, I've never been a big percentage plan. Becky and I are much more, we want to have a little bit more hands-on in our finances. Okay? But I'm giving those as if it's helpful for you. Okay? Does this make sense? I hope this is helpful. Is this helpful? Okay, I hope so. Here's the point of it all. Okay? When we've been talking about finances, we talked about this the other day. Okay? First off, is finances the end all, the most important thing in our life? Yes or no, folks? No, it's not. It's not the most important thing in our life. Obviously, this is not the priority of our life. This is not what is most important. But are our finances important in our life? Yes or no?
Yes
they are. The main reason is because finances show our heart. I hope I've made that clear through this series. Our finances show our heart. Our finances show how we're responding to God, what we prioritize, what we're living for, what we value. So if your finances are a wreck, the first thing you need to do, we've given a lot of practical advice, which is fine and good. But the first thing you need to do if your finances are a wreck is you need to examine your heart. Because it comes from the heart. Out of the heart come everything else. When your heart is not content, you're going to blow money. When your heart is not content, you're going to blow budgets. When your heart is not content, you're not going to save. When your heart is focused on this world and fleshly stuff and not on the things of the Lord, then you're not going to give. Examine the heart first. Okay? But if you examine your heart, and yes, I want to value the things of the Lord, but I'm struggling with some of these details. Hopefully some of these details have helped. Hopefully some of these very, very topical messages have helped in giving a little bit of guidance. Hey, here's where we need to move. Here's a roadmap here tonight. And hopefully that'll be helpful. Okay? As I've said before, if you need help, specifically financial, you just need some guidance in some of these things, I'd be glad to sit down with you and talk with you, help you out on some of this stuff. I am in no ways an expert on these things. I'm just someone that studied on it and trying to be faithful as I help and pray you are as well. Okay? Good? Any questions? I know we're a little over, but any question? Nathan, go ahead.
Yeah, I have a question. So, like, I agree with you 100% on budgeting. Like, definitely a biblical thing to do.
Right.
Sarah and I have a budget, and Sarah does a great job, like, keeping on point with certain things, and
good.
It's just nice to see.
Right.
But where I've talked to other people who have budgets and they manage it very well, that have, instead of, like, a giving category and retirement and such, kind of an area that I think people struggle with. I know we struggle with, and I guess that area is sacrificial giving.
Right.
You know, that's above and beyond what your budget is. Let's say you have a giving budget. But you feel led, or you know, someone has a need that's above your giving budget.
Right.
Where necessarily would you, let's say,
where would that be?
Where would that be coming from? Where would you like, I guess, encourage someone to pull that money from?
That's a very good question. For those of you that are online that didn't hear that, he's asking a question about specifically sacrificial giving, not tithes, but sacrificial giving and offerings, things along that line. The way we do it. Okay, and this is kind of how I would recommend, I guess, just pragmatically and practically for us. We take that out of our blow money, okay, out of our fund money. So if we feel a need, or we take it out of savings, one of the two. The reasoning for that is, one, you already have your budget planned, And we normally go with a zero-sum budget, okay, if you're familiar with that. Does that make sense? So I plan for every single dollar to be spent in these different categories, and everything else is savings. Does that make sense? That's how we do it. So therefore, there isn't money designated for extra giving for the needs, for, you know, people that are needy or what have you, for missionaries, et cetera. So what we do with that is we take that money out of blow money. If my heart is really served for a missionary, or my heart's really served for someone that needs help, then I'll take that out of our personal fund money. Or if it's a major need, which has happened a few times, it's a major need, I don't have it in my fund money, then I take it out of savings. Okay? That's happened a few times where it's something that's desperate, someone really, really needs help. Then I'll go and I'll do that. I'll give an illustration. The other day, you saw the guy that kind of came in here in the back, and he needed, he was asking for money. Okay? Some of you guys were like freaked out by him, but he came in here, he was sitting in the back, and he came and asked for money on Sunday morning. And generally speaking, I probably shouldn't have this on live stream, but generally speaking, if someone comes to me and they need help, generally speaking, I try to help them. Okay? That's just how I see biblically, right? Jesus said, if you give to the least of these, you've done it to me. So I'm not one to judge. If someone needs help, then I try and help them. Obviously, I'm not going to give them cash for them to blow it on beer, you know, booze or whatever. But I try and help them. So this guy came, and he went. And what we actually do with that is we actually buy gas gift cards. And I keep some in my wallet all the time. So if someone comes, which happens on a fairly regular basis, someone comes and they say, hey, I need gas or whatever, then I go and I have several $20 gas gift cards. I need to get some more, actually, because I just gave away my last. But I have several $20 gas gift cards, and I give that away. Okay? That comes out of our just fund money. Okay? So that's how we do it. It may be different for other people, but that's how we do it. When we give for Wednesday offerings, you know, Wednesday night offerings, that's always out of our fund money. Now, some people, they go and they say, hey, I'll do our illustration of Joe, $400 for tithe, but I'm going to do an extra $100 for charitable giving, just random, or an extra two, whatever. Some people do that, and that's fine. How we've always done it is we just take it out of that side. Okay? So it differs, right? So so for us, I mean, just to be perfectly blunt, honest, we don't have enough money to take out of our how much I make to give another category. That's just perfectly blunt honest. That's not complaining or anything. That's just honesty. For some people, they might have more to make a separate category for extra charitable giving. We just don't. So that's why we've done it that way. But I've seen good, solid people that do it two totally different ways. I have a very good friend that actually supports as a church. As a church would. Church supports $100 a month for missionaries. I have a very good friend that he goes, and there were some missionaries his heart was really stirred to support. The church was like, well, we don't have it in the budget. And he goes and he supports three missionaries every month, $100 a month. It's just what he does. And in that case, it became a fixed savings giving item. Does that make sense? So it differs, right? But that's how we do it. So hopefully that helps. You could theoretically go and say, okay, it'll be $100, and whatever the Lord encourages me within this month, let's say, then that $100 will go there, and, or else, then I'll give it to the missionaries or whatever. So there's a lot of options in that, but that's how we do it. Does that help?
Yeah.
Any other questions about budget, anything? Hopefully this has been helpful. Has this been a helpful study? I hope so. Okay. If you have any questions at any point, feel free to give me a holler and let me know about this. But let me encourage you again, have the right balance, have the right focus on these things. Let's close in prayer and we'll let you go, okay? Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you for your love and grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for meeting our needs. Lord, I pray that you would bless and strengthen and help us, Father, as we look at budget and examine some of these things. Lord, to examine how we're doing as your stewards. Lord, we thank you for what you've entrusted to us. Lord, we thank you for what you've provided for us. Father, I pray that you would just strengthen us, Lord, to use our money wisely, to use our money for in the ways that you value, in the ways that you have led and guided in these many verses that we've looked at through these series, through these messages. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be effective in our finances. And Lord, in the dark days that we live in, Father, I pray that you would help us to not live for carnality, to not live for what we can make, but Lord, to use our money wisely and to use our money for you. Strengthen us and help us, Father, we pray. And Lord, give us grace in these things. Lord, for those that are struggling financially, Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, give special grace and special strength, special guidance through some of these verses that we've looked at. And we'll thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.